restaurants and food carts owned by people of color. So this is not hard. I'm just going to say it right now. It is not hard to research and find lists of people of color owned food businesses. There are plenty of sources I was able to use from before and personal recommendations. A lot of them especially were covered in the Support Black Owned Restaurants Week that was just in August. You're not going to reach communities of color if you don't make an intended action toward it. If you don't think, how am I going to do this? Then you're not reaching them. If you just assume that in the course of how you're going to do your business, that you're going to reach people of color, then you're not doing the work. And the work for me, I'll tell you really easily, is that I intended from the very beginning to have half of the restaurants that we get to donate, that half of them would be by people of color owned restaurants.
One of the reasons this matters is because the names of the restaurants and their location is repeated on the air. So, I mean, it's something where we thank people and we raise their profile mm-hmm. in the local community using our modest tools.
I mean, just for every hour, imagine 6 a.m. all the way to 10 p.m., you're going to be able to hear these different restaurants and their address, and that kind of visibility is valuable when you're trying to maintain, you know, like you're trying to maintain your business in this changing city.
All right, Pamela Santos, KBOO Community Radio Membership Director, thanks for spending a few minutes with us today.
Thank you so much. I love it.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 6 o'clock, and next is a new episode of Kitchen Table Conversations with Mary Postlewaite. Stay tuned.
KBOO at the Clinton is our monthly film series that takes place every third Thursday at the Clinton Street Theater. This month, the film is Chico and Rita, showing Thursday, September 15th at 6:30 p.m. Melao de Cuba, a Latin salsa band, will play, and the film will start at 7:15. Chico and Rita is a 2010 adult animated music and romantic film set in the late 1940s and early 1950s. Chico is a young piano player with big dreams. Rita is a beautiful singer with an extraordinary voice. Music and romantic desire unite them, but their journey and the tradition of the Latin ballet, the boleto, brings heartache and torment. Again, that's Chico and Rita, showing Thursday, September 15th at 6:30 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO's membership drive is coming up in September. Help us promote the work of this amazing station by following us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and now Snapchat, rating our app on the iTunes and Google Play Store, and joining our Facebook event for the upcoming membership drive. Oh, and don't forget to join or renew your membership. Just click donate on our website or app and start your monthly contribution to your community radio, KBOO.
Stuff's been heavy on my mind and heavy on my chest lately, so look at the world around us, man, it's crashing and it's burning. Got me praying to the Lord for better days and deep discernment. I'm not nosy, I'm observant. I acknowledge I ain't perfect. Trying to turn the other cheek and trying to be the bigger person. But it's easier than said, it's all reflecting in my head. No more dwelling on the past and being worried about what's next. It's like I'm on my last breath and with a noose around my neck. And it's A and A to reach its A's, it really is a blessing. Oppression and depression got me stressing with this lesson. Is God trying to tell me something? If he is, then what's the message? I'm trying to get this money for my brother who's a college kid.
Hello. Once again, my name is Mary Postlewaite, and this is Kitchen Table Conversations. We are on KBOO 90.7 FM every Wednesday, or first Wednesday of the month, between 6 and 7 p.m. So in studio today, we have my daughter, of course, Marshalia, and we have one of my neighbors, Nene, and her son, Her son is over here on the tablet. We have a good friend of mine, Demetra Green, and his friend. So we're going to start with you, Demetra. I've known you for, you know, a few years now, and your son lives next to me in the same building. And the reason why I invited you on here is because, as my listeners know, I like to interview people who don't really, you know, get the chance that some people would get, maybe because of their past or where they live or a person of color or one of those different factors. So tell the people who are listening a little bit about yourself and where you come from.
Hey, world. How y'all doing? To anybody that's listening that I've been talking about, hey, how y'all doing? Demetra Green, proud to say CEO of GetFitInTheFlash.com, nutritional fitness personal trainer. Let's see where I should start. Originally from Texas, hey. Been here for a while now, it's quite some time. You know, I had a past. You know, every family, specifically speaking about the black family, has somebody either incarcerated, you know, such as myself. Like, I don't know how much of my life. I can also say I'm happy to be here right now.
We're happy to have you here.
Yes, thank you.
Go ahead. So when I met you, you had just basically, well, to me, you had just gotten out. Mm-hmm. I don't know the circumstances, so I don't know exactly how long you were out, but since that time, you did something that I don't see a lot of, and that is, after you get out of prison, you don't let, you know, people saying no or people downing you or not, you know, giving you the resources that you need. You didn't let that stop you. Right. And you went on and you made yourself your own business, and came up from being where you were when you were younger growing up, ending up in prison, to now you're the owner of your own business.
Right.
And that's incredible to me. So when you were out, what was the changing point in your brain that made you decide that, you know what, this is what I want to do?
Okay, good question. So first off, you know, to the listeners, like I said, you know, half of my life, you know, been behind the bars. Started at a young age, 16 to be exact. And I mean, it's definitely not something that you should definitely keep doing if you're in the streets. Y'all listening to me, you know, violence ain't the issue. But with that being said, you know, I got out, and I've said it before, I've been down 3 times, and the 3rd time, you know, it was really like, this is the time where I actually, you know, woke up and decided that the penitentiary is no longer an option for me. And in order for me to say that, I would have to actually be saying that criminal activity is no longer a desire. Mm-hmm. And so with that, you know, being a motivational tool, I use that, and as well as me having children.
Right.
You know, so you gotta start thinking, like, you know, It's selfish when you still continue to, you know, dibble and dabble and do what you do in the streets, and you're not thinking about them babies, because they definitely are the future. And because there's so many weirdos out there in the streets, you know, we got to look at who's raising these babies. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. We got to actually educate and feed them, you know, with these tools that they actually need. We got to actually, you know, speak to them and relate to them. And that's what they missing, somebody who actually can relate to them, as opposed to, you know, counselors feeding them textbook. You know, we need somebody, mm-hmm, who's actually been there
and done that.
Right. And then, right, you can actually teach them how not to.
Right.
Properly.
By knowing how to do it.
Right.
I got you. So, you know that I do a lot of work around the neighborhood, and,
oh, yes,
or I have, and I advocate for the youth a lot. A lot of what I've done has been through mental health or fit, you know, the psychological part of it, and the past of children being affected by whatever it is that's, mm-hmm, out there affecting them. But you've taken on the health aspect as far as physically,
physically, nutrition-wise.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's important. You know, all aspects of health, it's important. And to have somebody like yourself, an African-American man, who's come out of prison and has, you know, built this fitness business for himself. Talk about it. You know, talk about how, what were your paths to having to get there?
So, and that's another thing too, testimonially speaking. So it's ironic because every time I spoke about being, you know, locked away three times, each time I did actually educate myself, further my education every time. You know, I didn't just let that go to waste. And with that being said, this last time, you know, this last stint was where I actually received my certificate, nutritional fitness personal training certificate, a lot of hours study, you know, believe it or not, they do have an educational system within that system that you can actually, you know, benefit from if you put that time to use.
That's true.
And that's exactly what I did. And so with that being said, I've been a trainer for about 13 years now.
Right on.
So
that's good.
And this website was actually created a year ago, will be October. And I've had quite some hit. I forget like how many hits I have, but over like 2,000 now, something like that. But yeah, and I mean, without God, would none of this be possible? And so here I am sitting right now, actually looking at my business cards, you know, thankful and happy to actually own my own business, and amongst a few other things that I'm doing too, and trying to actually be a role model in the community.
Right on. So where do you see yourself going with your business? Are you trying to make it a stationary, you know, like a 24-hour fitness type thing? Or, you know, when I see you, I see a... You come to the person, basically. So you work with us, but you know, I've always just seen you work with one person at a time.
Right, right.
Which is something that I've always thought was great because, you know, you don't want your mind to get too strangled with too many people. But...
Well, I don't mean to, you know, but it's funny you say that. The personal training thing was actually something that I wanted to, you know, venture off and do. I started out training group sessions. So we talking about 30, 40 people at one time, you know, so, and which is easy for me, you know, I mean, I'm very energetic, you know, I got the motivation and keynote everybody, dedication, determination, and discipline is what you actually have to have.
Absolutely.
It doesn't even matter whatever trainer you have. I don't care if he got the ooey, you know, this or that. If you do not have the dedication, determination, and discipline, it can't happen.
So while we're talking, why don't you let people know how they can get a hold of you, or you know, get in touch with you if they want to, you know, get themselves right physically and
right,
you know, healthy with the
nutrition. So cell phone number 971-706-8145, which is actually on either my flyer or my business card, getfitintheflash.com. That is getfitintheflash.com. Email Demetric. Let me see, y'all.
I don't know my own email.
At getfitintheflash.com. I mean, in whatever facet of fitness you look to improve or boost, you know, I'm the man. Cardio, core, strength, endurance, sculpting, nutritional plans, assessments are free. I mean, you can actually try my workout for an hour, full workout, stretching, warm up, cool down, an hour free.
Do you go there or do they need to come to you, or how do you guys work that out?
Now, you know, home visits are definitely a different story, but as far as those who do not have a gym, say for instance, hey D, I seen your website and you know, I seen the beginning package and I wanna, you know, try your beginning package, but I don't have a gym. Well, that's all right, because anybody can be my guest at Planet Fitness and that's no charge.
And there it is there. So yeah, okay, great. So you had said, amongst other things, you do other things also. So,
oh yeah,
tell our audience what it is that you, what you do.
Man, I mean, you know, God has blessed me with many talents. There was once upon a time when I used to, I ain't gonna say it too loud, sing. you know, I rap. You know, I write poetry. I'm a writer.
I'm a poetry lover.
Right, right.
Big advocate of poetry.
So maybe one day, you know, I probably, you know, show back up on the show and have something for you guys. But maybe. Yeah, for those who like rap, you can check me out on YouTube. That name is Greedy Black Gas Station, and that spelling is GREEDYBLAKKK. Gas Station, four words, Greedy Black Gas Station, and you will be in for a treat for those who do like rap. But yeah, so I also I have a beauty and skin line I'm about to try to, you know, get off the ground. It's still in the making. Right now, for those who do know, you can find me downtown, Mobile Hydration Station, two coolers on wheels, 75 cents, soda, bottled water, tea, you
I
name
heard
it.
That.
Oh yeah. And actually catch me Saturday, Sunday market, you know, helping out with the train, because it's a lot of activity that's going on. Yeah, right. No, actually Ankeny Square.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Y'all can find me, but no, actually y'all, I'm out there doing a lot of announcing, advertising people who don't advertise their product like I do, and you know, I use my energy to help them, you know, pull some money their way too, because they're around there too, and I like to, you know, spread the wealth,
right?
You know, so and keep people safe from that big old train. It's a big beast and it will hit you. A lot of people don't see it, so
that's
I'm right
true.
there. And y'all, I'll have you know, there is a park ranger who actually was stoked about working with me. He let me know his boss, you know, put him at that station now, because it's obvious they like what I do. I don't get paid for doing it, and I don't care to get paid to do it, because it's something that I do, you mm-hmm. know, without the kindness of my heart. You know?
That's what's up.
Yeah.
So before we head on out to our first break, I want you to give the younger, especially the young men out there, you know, being from where we're from and in the type of lives that we've lived, we've had a very similar mm-hmm. Things go on, and you know, I like to give messages, and what message would you give to a young man who, you know, sees his life heading down the wrong direction?
Man, really, if you know, and I'm speaking to all the, you know, the homies, or you know, whatever y'all want to try to make it sound like out there. For real, y'all know it's them streets ain't no joke. Behind them bars is even more vicious. It's a different world in there. And the best thing that I could say, you know, we had to keep our families out here on the streets. You know, it is definite that we are becoming extinct. And, you know, if we when we really look at what's going on. So, young people, you know, toting them pistols and picking up them sacks and popping them zannies and all that old stuff that y'all hear on that them songs, and y'all want to copycat that, all that leads to death, you know, behind the bars, sitting on that bunk bed wishing you can hug your mama neck,
That's
you
right.
know, your brother or your sister, but you can't, because you done took somebody else's life for nothing.
Right.
It's all peace and love, y'all. Y'all need to actually recognize that. And we cannot do that if we don't look within self first. Then we can unify and then do something to make something happen. But until then, y'all, we still going to be caught in this, what we're doing right now. You know, ignorance is our biggest enemy. Mm-hmm. You know, preparedness and awareness. Y'all got to recognize that. Wake up, y'all.
That's right. And that was Demetri Green.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you coming in studio.
I appreciate you guys having me.
We're going to go to a quick break. Here's Tupac. Keep your head up.
Hey. Something to my godson Elijah and a little girl named Corinne.
Some say the blacker the better, the sweeter the juice. I say the darker the flesh and the deeper the roots. I give my holler to my sister's own welfare. Tupac cares if don't nobody else care. And I know they like to beat you down a lot. And when you come around the block, brothers clown a lot. Please don't cry, dry your eyes, never let up. Forgive, but don't forget, girl, keep your head up. And when he tells you you ain't nothing, don't believe him. And if you can't learn to love you, you should leave him. Cause sister, you don't need him. And I ain't trying to gash up, I just call him how I see. You know what makes me unhappy? That when brothers make babies and leave a young mother to be a pet. And since we all came from a woman, got our name from a woman, and I came from a woman. I wonder why we take from our women, why we rape our women, do we hate our women? I think it's time to kill for our women, time to heal our women, be real to our women. And if we don't, we'll have a race of babies that will hate the ladies that make the babies. And since a man can't make one, he has no right to tell a woman when and where.
prepared to create one. So will the real men get up? I know you're fed up, ladies, but keep your head up.
Hello, hello, and we are back. This is Mary Postlewaite. You're listening to Kitchen Table Conversations with Marshalia Postlewaite in the house today.
What's up?
You were just listening to a friend of mine, Demetri Green, and I had him on so that, you know, my listeners will know that people, you know, sometimes we make mistakes in life, but you can get it together and do something positive and show the world that, you know, not everybody is bad all the time.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, you know, I that's a good reason why I brought him on here. One of the main ones anyway. But now we're with Nene. Hey, Nene.
Hey. And Piggy.
Piggy is her son. He's sitting over here on his tablet.
Can I say what's up?
So, you know, Nene is the sister of my next door neighbor. And those out there who've listened to me before and those who know me, they know that I'm for, you know, the younger generation and for younger adults who don't, you know, quite have it as well as what some people would think in society that people should have. But Nanny is a single mom. She has Piggy over here, who, like I said, is on his tablet. He doesn't want to talk right now. So,
Piggy, you want to say what's up?
You know, speaking of now, Nene, and you being a single mom and knowing what it's going through, looking back on it and how you were being raised with your mom, do you find similarities between how your mom raised you and how you raised Piggy? It was kind of hard back then.
Yeah.
It was rough out there.
Yeah, it's kind of rough. And I mean, there's some type of similarities, which is a case of like, my mom, she had three kids. I'm the youngest out of three. But, like, she only raised me. And at that time, it was like a house to a house to a house to a house. It was never no stabilization.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I mean, there's some similarity there. But, I mean, I'm kind of stabilized, but not all the way where I should be as being a mother. Like, mm-hmm. I never wanted to go down the same path as my mom. Like, always mm-hmm. achieve to be better.
Mm-hmm. So. That's what I always tell my daughter. Don't be me, be better. Be better than I was. Teach me something. I never in my life dreamed that I would be a mom.
Me either.
Yeah. When you were growing up, you were the last person that we thought would have children. I've known Nene here for most of her life, actually.
Since I was, like, in the fourth grade.
Yeah. For a long, long time. What have been some of the struggles that you've had to deal with just being a single mom and, you know, just having to live out there?
Like the struggles and being a single parent, taking care of a kid by myself, just basically replaying life all over again. Like, I didn't have my father growing up. My son, father's not here right now in the picture.
Mm-hmm.
Pray to God to him, whatever he's doing with his life. But it's kind of hard. But then again, it's like you get used to it. It's like God wouldn't put you through too many things that you can never handle. So, I mean, it's a blessing on top of another blessing, and it pushes you harder to do what you know that you have a passion for, knowing that you have somebody looking up to you, calling you mom. Like, you can never give up.
Right. I got you. I I adore Piggy. You know, he's one of my favorite kids out there. Piggy, but I know how hard it can be being a single mom, you know.
It's stressful.
It's very stressful. I wanted you to come on here because a lot of my listeners, they may not understand what it's like to be a single mom and to be out there trying to make it and, you know, just finding yourself like right on edge. There you are, right on the edge, but it's not quite there yet. You know what I mean? And I wanted them to hear it from somebody else. You know, Piggy, he doesn't go to school, but he does go to the Children's Relief Nursery.
Yeah.
He goes there, but do you have plans for him when he's in school?
Hopefully by the time he gets to school, I have like a stabilized job. And I mean, I don't too much care for public schools, but I would prefer my son to go to like I don't want to say Catholic school, but
a private school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a private school, such as a public school.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, I've had some discrepancies with public schools also. So, yeah. So, you stay with your sister.
Yes.
Yeah. What's it like? Because I know that she has four.
She has four kids.
Four boys.
Yeah.
Four boys and your boy, that makes five. Ooh, that's a lot.
I mean,
tell me about it.
It can be stressful at times, and I mean, and it can be like a big blessing because my son gets to not totally experience having other siblings, because Lord knows I ain't having no more kids. Mm-hmm. But he gets to grow up with his cousins, and at the end of the day, we each other got. So
that's true, absolutely. So, if you could have changed something before you had your son or got pregnant with your son that would have taken you down a different path, what do you think it would have been?
After I graduated, stayed focused and continued going to college instead of thinking that school wasn't for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got that. I can feel that one.
I'm in that little situation right now.
Absolutely. And now that you have the baby, it's hard. Yeah. I get it. I fully understand. Marshallie understands too, and she doesn't have a kid. So
right.
It's hard.
But, you know, I appreciate that you came on here and just to come on and just let me talk and ask you some questions. If you could go and tell a young girl out there who's out there, you know, maybe not making the right decisions for herself, what is it that you would tell her?
It's not always about having a kid, because it ain't about dress up, because kids ain't no doll. They're a blessing. So, I mean, just wait. Like, wait till you feel that you and God know that it's the right time to have a kid, because a baby don't keep a man around.
Sure,
and if you taking care of that baby by yourself, it's a struggle, a big struggle. So
absolutely.
Just yes. Wait and just pray for the right time and you meet the right person to have a kid by.
Right. Get your life together before it happens. Absolutely. I appreciate you coming out here and just talking with us. Nana will be in station with us for the rest of the evening too. So if any of you out there have a question or a comment, you can call into the station and you can ask me. Delphine, could you give him the number?
Yes, absolutely. The phone number to call is 503-231-8187.
Alrighty.
503-231-8187.
There you go. And you can call in and ask me what you want to ask me or tell me what it is that you want to be known. Before I start talking anymore, I have to give a special shout out. Everybody knows who I've done some different shows, and one of the shows that I've done is a reunion show where we spoke with my daughter and my oldest daughter. Well, I want to say that there is an addition to my reunion now. I have now reunited with my brother, Jeff, and I just want to say, Jeff, I love you, and I am so happy that you took the time to answer my message. So, you know, I just wanted to say that. And I hope that our relationship can get better from here. So, there it is there.
That's what's up.
Yeah. So, last month, I threw a challenge out there about growing your own herb garden. And guess what? I did.
No, it's mine. No. I planted it.
She did.
So
she planted my garden for me. So it's growing. We have herbs and stuff. Did you plant a garden?
No.
Oh, yeah. You should do that. Fresh herbs are great. So I did mine. I don't know if anybody out there did. I hope they did.
Call in and tell us if you did and tell us how it's going.
Absolutely. Mine has sprouted up well. It's doing very well. I'm quite impressed. Cilantro.
Yeah. Cilantro, oregano.
Chives, and the one that starts with an M and it has a J in it. I don't know how to pronounce.
Margarine?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I always want to say margarine. Yeah, that one. Like
margarine.
So.
Margarine.
Yeah.
Something like that.
So I don't have a green thumb. You know, my kids are both into the farming scene. So this is something that's new for me. I'm not, you know,
four
I'm not
plus
big on
years.
Growing. So we're trying it. I'd like to see pictures. Unfortunately, my tablet has broken, so I haven't been able to get onto the internet recently. So there's been no activity from me. So I apologize for that.
You guys can always post it on my wall.
There it is.
Marshalia Postwaite. You can find me on Facebook. Just type in Marshalia.
Yep, and she'll pop up. You'll see her face.
Marsha, L-I-A.
Marsha, L-I-A. That's how you spell it. yeah, and post pictures of your guys' herb garden so, and tell me what it is that you're growing because maybe I want to grow it too. So my challenge for next month, I'm just going to go ahead and do it now, is I want you to... you know, go to like a nursing home or you know, just your elder neighbor's house or, you know, your grandparents or one of your elders in your life and listen to a couple of their stories. And I would love if you could comment on my page or the KBOO Kitchen Table page, Marshalia, and let me know what some of those stories are. And next month, I'll be bringing in a segment about that. So, as you can hear me in the background. So, that will be my next challenge. You know, I always advocate for the youth. However, you know, without our elders, the time wouldn't go on. You know, they wouldn't learn what they learn to be the people that they are in the future without the elders today or yesterday. So, you know, their stories are just as important as our young people's stories and the memories that they have and the way that they do things. One of the comments on my page, I think it was from Jonathan, he said that he wanted me to do a segment on home remedies. And I was like, you know, I don't know. I'm not sure, but I'm going to go ahead and give a couple home remedies that I have that I do. Only because today we had to use one of them. So, ants. A home remedy of mine is...
Cinnamon.
Cinnamon, absolutely.
Cinnamon kills ants?
Cinnamon, ants don't like an ingredient or something that's in the cinnamon, and they just kind of like go around it. So if you put cinnamon along the cracks of your wall or your whatever, it'll distract the
ants from coming.
There's one of my home remedies right there. What is it that you use to Ajax for a shoe cleaner?
Oh, yeah,
and a
Comet.
Comet,
yeah,
that's what it
Comet.
Is. So there's another one. It's like a whitener on tennis shoes.
Comment and a little bit of water and a toothbrush for your shoes.
She's the shoe cleaner of the house. So yeah. So there was another home remedy. And what was the other one I was going to do? I'll remember it and I'll tell you guys.
Oh, for anybody who has dogs and stuff and has like fleas, if you put a bowl of water on the floor with soap in it and a candle or something inside of the bowl, it'll attract the fleas to jump inside of the bowl of water and it'll kill the fleas.
Really?
So yes, it will.
There's one I didn't know anything about.
Yeah. A lit candle?
Yeah. Well, I didn't put a candle in it and it worked, but online it said to put a candle, so.
You can also, citrus. They don't like citrus.
Yeah,
so
lemon.
So you can rub lemon or orange on your animal and it'll just, you know, deter fleas also. So you don't have to use those chemicals and whatever whatnot on your animals.
See, there's a few home remedies for you, Jonathan.
So there you go,
and
Jonathan.
And everybody else.
And I will definitely remember the other ones that I do for next month, and I'll give you a few more. But we're going to go ahead and go to a break. This was Alicia Keys, Girl on Fire.
She's just a girl and she's on fire. Hotter than a fantasy, lonely like a highway. She's living in a world and it's on fire. Filled with catastrophe, but she knows she can fly away.
Again, that was Alicia Keys, Girl on Fire. You're listening to Kitchen Table Conversations on KBOO 90.7 FM. My name is Mary Postlewaite, and I am your host tonight. So, you know, we talk a lot about advocating for the youth and all that. My daughter's sitting over here taking selfies.
No, sticking I'm her sending tongue out. A Snapchat to... my friend, okay.
Snapchat. Selfie, Snapchat. Whatever.
I love Snapchat.
K-Boo's on Snapchat.
K-Boo is on Snapchat.
Hey, K-Boo, that's what's up.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there you go. You got to add it.
I will.
Add K-Boo. Absolutely on your Snapchat. Twitter, Facebook, whatever else it's on. Twitter. It's on Twitter.
Yes.
What is Facebook's Twitter at K-Boo account email? There's a paper on my wall that I've never seen before, so I'm reading it. Anyway, Marshalia, what's on your mind?
So I have some questions for you, Madre.
Okay.
Since, you know, you were just talking to Nene about being a single mother and whatnot, I know that you were obviously a single mother. I mean, Dad was, he's there, you know, in and out, but... I'd say you're a single mother. You were there. You never left. So how was it for you, you know, raising Elijah and I? And yeah.
Well, it's different. Any of you that know me know that you and your brother are like night and day. You guys are two completely different personalities.
Yeah, that's very true.
And... me being a single mom, I raised my daughter a little harder than I raised my son, because I felt it was more important, since she was a girl, that she needed to be a little bit more, I don't know, defensive of herself and growing up in her body and things like that. But with that being said, it was hard for me to kind of come out of the situation that I was out of and start raising you guys completely just, you know, it was different. You know, I always had the money there and then it wasn't. And then I had you and then I got pregnant with my son and,
right.
And it was hard. But I always told myself that I was going to do what I could do to raise my children better than I was raised. Right. And when right after you were born, I just knew that it was time for me to stop doing what I was doing and mm-hmm. become an adult and do what I need to do. So through the journey of after you being born to now, you're 19 now, there's been a lot of growth in me. There's been a lot of realizations within myself.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned a lot about myself over the years and having to be a single mom and make the choices that I've had to make.
Right.
Some of them were quote unquote bad choices that maybe people would think, but they were for the best at that particular moment.
Mm-hmm.
And even now, you know, I say I'm 43 now. I just turned 43 last month and I make a mistake at least once a day.
Yeah.
You know,
we all do though.
And I'm not perfect. I always before would strive to be the best at everything. And, you know, I'm just not perfect. And when I realized that, life went a lot easier, you know. And I started realizing that the biggest thing that I needed to do was to be there for you guys. So
right.
I changed my attitude and I started thinking that, you know, more about how it is that you guys feel and what you would think in a situation and how it would go for you. And it made me see a different side of myself.
Good.
You know, but I don't think it would have been the same had I not been a single parent, you know. There for a while I was quite spoiled. So, you know, I was a brat. And I was quite spoiled. But having to do it on my own kind of slapped me in the face.
Right.
And, you know,
it was a reality here we are today. Check.
You know, and I'm always getting complimented on you and your brother and how you guys are. And it makes me feel good as
well,
a parent
yeah, because...
and as a mom to hear those things about you guys.
Right.
You know, it makes me feel like I actually did my job.
I always tell people I have to thank you for it, you know, like... When people compliment me on, you know, whatever it is I'm doing and tell me how good I am, I always tell them I have to thank you for it because you did raise me. So,
But I raised you to have your own values and your own morals.
Yeah, true. But it all starts, you know, with you,
mm-hmm.
you know, or whoever is raising the child, I should say. But
I came from, you know, a two-parent family. I had my father and my stepmother, and they were always in the home.
Mm-hmm.
So it's I was raised with both parents, yet my family was completely dysfunctional. So, you know, me being raised or me being a single mom raising my kids by myself, I feel great about where I am now and how I've raised you guys. It makes me feel good that even though I've had the issues in my past that I had, that I was able to lead you guys in life to where you're at right now.
Right.
You know, so that's, I guess, the pride of being a mommy.
So do you ever find yourself doing things that your parents did? Or do you find yourself doing things differently?
Both.
Okay.
I've found myself like some of the mannerisms and some of the things that I do, like disciplinary,
mm-hmm.
I find a lot similar. I don't really physically discipline
no.
you guys so much. It's never really been a physical thing. But sometimes humiliation and whatever can be worse than physical.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes yeah. I wish my parents would have just spanked me instead of lectured me.
Right.
You know.
I feel that.
You know. And sometimes, as I tell you, you know, there's things that my parents have taught me that I've always thought were good. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, some of the words of wisdom that I give to you. You know, always follow your heart when you get that first feeling.
Right,
you
know, my instinct.
Absolutely. I learned that from my parents, you know. So not everything about the relationship between my parents and myself was negative.
Right.
you know. And I did take away some positive things out of it. But yeah, so I can see myself both in both situations, mm-hmm. taking and giving from situation. So, yeah, well,
yeah,
you know, in the beginning when I had kids, I wasn't a very good mom. As far as myself, I didn't have the means necessary to be a good mom to my children. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just monetary. It was right. like mentally, emotionally, I didn't have what they needed. So I can sit here today and say that. Mm-hmm. Back then, I wouldn't say that. But I can sit here today and I can say that. Not saying that I'm the perfect mom, but I'm a much better mother now than I was back then.
Well, I wouldn't trade you for the world, so.
Oh, that's my baby girl.
No, for real. My mom, it's me and my mom forever and ever and ever.
Your dad told me the other day that me and my children, we have a different type of relationship.
We do. And, you know.
He told me that.
It's very true. We do have a different type of relationship. But one thing I will say is that a lot of my friends don't have a relationship with their parents like I have the relationship with my mom.
Yeah. I've heard a lot of your friends say that.
The relationship we have is very open. Yes. You know, some may say that it's too friendly, but, you know, me and my mom get along. We understand each other. We hear each other out. We compromise, and we get through whatever it is that, you know, hits us. But
and you have to remember, folks, you know, my kids aren't little anymore. So
right.
raising them...
It's
from
different
when they're
now.
Little is different, right? It's different from when you guys are now grown up and self-sufficient. You
right.
know, you guys can make your own food and you can do right. things for yourself.
We
can't, so
right, we're not babies. You don't have
right,
to pamper us anymore.
Right, the relationship
know?
Changes.
Right.
But I guess I will. You know, it took me a minute. I was kind of agitated at first when he said that.
You know,
I was
and
like,
it's
what?
True.
You know, we don't have a bad relationship. That's what I heard. He didn't say bad. He said different. And I was like, I heard bad. So I'm like. No, but he's right. We do have a different type of relationship.
We do, and sometimes that different relationship, you know, there's fine lines to it, I'd say.
There is.
And, you know, they've been pressed a few times, and, you know, that's going to happen. However,
as with all relationships with parents and children.
Right, no matter, right, no matter what. But I know at the end of the day, she's my mom. So
yeah,
that's
you have a dynamic relationship with your mom too.
Yeah,
yeah. They have one of those different relationships also.
Right.
I don't.
We rock with our mothers till the end.
Right. We're like, you know, my kids have always known before I'm their friend, I'm their mother.
Right.
And I'll answer my kids' questions as a mom.
And as a friend,
if you want me to.
Yeah.
And they may not always be the same.
Right.
But, you know, I do that.
But she's being real and giving us both sides. And,
absolutely.
You know,
and I leave them to make the choice. Now, I'm going to tell them at the same time what's going to happen for which choice that they choose.
Right.
And when it happens, then they come to me, oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. All dumbfounded.
Right. But, you know, it's live and learn. I wouldn't trade you guys. Sometimes I tell you that, but I would never trade you guys for the world.
I wouldn't trade you. I mean, we get mad at each other, but it ain't nothing like that.
Yeah.
So,
I wish my son was here right now because he is just.
Oh, Elijah is something else,
he's a piece
but
of
I
work.
Love him to death.
I would love for my listeners to hear him on the radio. He's great.
He sound like this.
Yeah.
He got a real deep voice. But if you could. You know, tell your listeners or your youth or your young adult something positive or if, you know, about whatever. What would you tell them? Or if there's anything you could, like, change about your past, what would you change about your past?
That's kind of two different things.
Yeah, it is two different things, but they're two questions.
If there's something
I
could change
you.
About my past, it would be that I would have stayed... modeling.
I was gonna say a model. Hey.
That was my lifelong dream, and I absolutely loved it.
Hit that catwalk.
Yeah. So that would be it, and I can honestly say my life would be completely different than it is now, had I stayed modeling. But not that my life is bad right now. It would just be a different experience.
Yeah.
You say hi to the audience,
say hi, Piggy.
Say hi.
Hi.
Hi. That's Piggy Nene's son. He is just too cute. So yeah, that would be that. If I could say something positive
to your viewers, to my, your listeners,
my viewers, can y'all see me now?
No.
Can you see me now? Can you see me now? I think it would be, you know, that feeling you get in every situation, good or bad. You get a feeling, you get a butterfly in your stomach, you get a giggle when something's, you know, neat or, you know, something that
amusing
or fun. You get that giggle, that feeling in your belly.
Or you get that spooky
feeling when something's not right, or the hairs on the back of your neck stand up, or you just get that second thought like,
Yeah.
Listen to that. Listen to it.
That's good. That's
95%
right.
of the time, that feeling
is
absolutely right.
Yeah.
You know, and don't worry about what other people think about you. Mm-hmm. I spent many years worried about what other people thought about me and how I lived my life. And it drove me crazy. So that would be probably one of the other pieces of advice is don't focus on what people think about you. Focus on what it is that you think about yourself and what you want to do with you and your life. Yeah. You know, nobody makes the decisions for you but you.
Right.
So
I feel that.
You know, give more value to yourself and, you know, love yourself and do you.
Right.
You know, do you and be you. Don't ever try to be someone else.
Those are very
Do you agree, Piggy? You do? Absolutely. I feel the same way.
Yeah.
He's too cute. I love
him. He's over here on his tablet just zone out.
Yeah. He's probably one of the only small children I think I would bring on because he's just so quiet. He doesn't make a whole lot of noise.
Kind of.
No, I'm kind of. Well, we're not outside.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah, I don't know.
No more questions?
No, I don't think so.
Do you have any questions for me, Nene?
Y'all got questions for me? Just saying.
When you had your first child, like, what was, like, the thoughts and stuff going through your head knowing that you were going to become a mother?
Oh, my God.
I was scared.
And how old were you?
I was 15 when I got pregnant. And I was 16 when I had her. And I was scared, but I was happy at the same time because I had my very own kid. I had my very own baby. And that same notion made me realize that I shouldn't have had her. Because the only reason why I fought to have her was because she was mine.
Right.
She's mine. She's not yours. She's mine. And that's not enough for a child. You know, you got to give them love. And that was something that, you know, I learned after I had her. But I was really scared when I got pregnant. I was afraid of my parents. I was afraid of what was going to happen. I didn't want to say nothing, you know. But I wouldn't want my kids to feel that way. You know, if my daughter ended up pregnant, I would hope that she would come tell me. Even knowing I'm not going to like it, but I would hope that she would tell me, you know.
It's kind of hard to like go to your parents and say like, oh,
hey,
mom,
I'm
pregnant, knowing that when you were growing up your mom be like, oh, if you have a baby, I'm gonna do this and it's
for
like
real.
Even if I was scared. Like even 18 just having a baby, it's like, oh my Lord, what's about to happen as soon as I tell my mom or my dad, you know, like,
yeah,
it's a lot to come with it because you think about all the stuff you heard when you was a kid.
Yeah.
Right?
And that's why I've always wanted the relationship between me and my kids to be one of where, even though they know that it might not make me happy or disappointing or whatever it may be, it's better if it's coming from you, number one.
Right.
And that you're honest about it, you know, just say it, just be honest about what it is that's on your mind. You'd be surprised what us as parents can handle.
Right.
You know, we say things because we want to scare you not to do them. We know what it's like.
Right.
We've been there. We've done that. We've seen the consequences. So we try to put that out there for you guys as kids so that you won't do that. But, you know, some people like myself find that a challenge, you know. I found that a challenge when my parents would tell me not to do something. I'm like, yeah, I want to go do that. You know, that is not, that is not an endorsement.
That is not the challenge I
want
to take on.
Parents don't want you to do.
I do not want to take on that challenge of you telling me not to have any babies and then go try and have some babies. That is not a challenge.
I'm not babysitting. I'm not. My daughter told me if she has kids, I have to babysit.
Sure do.
The beauty of another person's child is being able to give them back.
If I'm bringing in, I've had six children, stuff for the home, and I have a kid, you gonna watch your grandchild.
Oh boy.
And then
speaking of grandchildren, I miss my grandson.
Hi Jackson, I love you so much and miss you.
I miss you guys a lot, and I hope to see you guys soon. If you're listening,
though,
somebody's listening that she knows. Let Mirjam know that we want to see her and Jackson. We miss her. We want to see you too, Jeff, because I know you're listening. I know for a fact, because we have reminded each other. Yes, he reminded me when I was a day off. He was like, no,
what's
no.
What's up, Unc?
There's your niece, Marsha Leah. So, yeah.
Yeah, we the one hear who jumped you on your back when I was 5.
Yeah, you probably don't remember
and hurt
that.
Your back. I remember that. Sorry.
Sorry.
Sorry. 15 years later. I mean, 14 years later.
Absolutely. So, yeah. I have to say something real quick. I got some bowls sitting in front of me that have roast beef in them and roasted potatoes, and I am so hungry right now, and I'm looking at these bowls like,
and
oh
can
my
smell
God, there's
it.
Dinner in those bowls.
Only if you could do scratch and sniff.
Yeah, I made me a roast. Oh, that's what the other one was. Katie S. asked me to do recipes, and I wasn't going to do it. I wasn't going to do any of those, but I decided that I would because I told my listeners that if they put a suggestion out there that I would get them online or on the air. So I decided that I would do a quick recipe that's real easy. And it consists of chicken breast, flour, egg, and pancake mix. Some oil.
Oh, homemade orange chicken.
Yes, and it's so easy. And this is one of my kitchen tips for batter for like fried shrimp or chicken is pancake mix. Not necessarily buttermilk, just regular pancake mix, you know, make kind of thing. You dip your meat in there after you, you know, wash your meat up and whatever. You dip it in the egg, you put it in the flour, you put it in the stuff, and deep fry it up, and you get that fluffy breading around your chicken. And then you have your orange sauce on the side. And I would suggest that you buy regular orange sauce and slice some oranges and put it in there. So there's a quick tip right there for the batter for your chicken and a quick recipe for homemade orange chicken. So, yeah, there you go.
That's one of my favorites.
Pretty quick. Oh, and you can do it with fish, and you can do it with any kind of meat, really. You can also do it with cheese. You can do it with pepperoni. Your brother likes pepperoni. You can do it with a lot of different stuff. So, you know, there goes that. And everybody remember that your challenge is to listen to one of your elders' stories. I don't care if you're 70 years old. There's an elder out there, and they're willing to tell you their story. So that would be my challenge for next month.
All right.
And I appreciate you, Nene. And
thank you.
Demetric is gone. And Marshalia, as always, I love you.
Love you too, Mom.
You are my rock. And for all you listeners out there, I absolutely appreciate for you listening. And I hope to speak into your ear next month. And we're going to go out with a song from my friend Hennessy the Goon. This is Mary Postlewaite, Kitchen Table Conversations on KBOO 90.7 FM.
And we're out.
Worry about what's next, like I'm on my last breath and with a noose around my neck and it's A&A to reach its A's, it really is a blessing. Oppression and depression got me stressing with this lesson. Is God trying to tell me something? If he is, then what's the message? I'm trying to get this money for my brother who's a college kid, crying to myself like thank the Lord God he really did it. Leading by example wasn't hard, and plus I dated women, taught them all I know, and 2 years later I'm an auntie figure. Now what's the difference if I'm sinning in this contradiction, trying to right my wrongs but I go left and miss the whole picture. Hazy vision cause I'm blazing, hanging in the trenches, praying that I make it, yes, they're living in the same conditions. That's far-fetching, double-minded, having double standard, double temptation in my face. My kryptonite is damaged. They say, if you knew better, you would do better. But I know I'm still living up and do whatever. My daddy's gone and my mama, she's my backbone. Like every time I fall off, I always go back home. Headed down the road of truth or death up in my rear view. It's time to make a change, the end of days is coming up soon. Raised to be a Christian, but was bred to be a goon. Was taught from the streets, but I never learned from school. Now it's time to pay my dues with my head held high. Cause in reality, we all just living to die. So I'm 10 toes down, trying to steer from my demise. Steadily claiming that I'm cool, but you can see it in my eyes. Hey, as time flies, I think I'm learning from my every move. To make it in this life, you gotta sacrifice and lose. That's the truth. If I'm lying, you can stop me now. I'm standing tall, so you can never ever break me down. God got me, you don't. You a lying, he won't. You a fake and he can't. And that's the friend that I want. You non-believers, I don't get it. You say he's a fraud. Yet every time you get in trouble, you say, oh my God. Would you die for everybody to have a clean slate? Or get beaten until we couldn't recognize your face? Now I don't think so. It's time to wake up and look around, because the devil's trying to take us. I know I'm not perfect, but tell me who is. You couldn't judge me if you wanted. Lead to judging to him. I know I'm going on the whim to get the ignorant to listen. God gave me your word. Now it's time to do my mission. I don't get it. Is my pigment such a bad thing? Are we in our last days or a bad dream? This world is contribution so confusing and it's complex. We living just to die, so I'm wondering, am I next? Yeah.
Sing it to him, baby.
The time is 7 p.m. You're tuned to KBOO Portland. We have a few community announcements and then we'll bring you your Wednesday episode of Hard Knock Radio. Thanks for tuning in.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the other September 11th, Not Forgiven and Not Forgotten, a film screening on Sunday, September 11th at People's Food Co-op in Portland. In 1973, Chile experienced a coup by right-wing forces led by Augusto Pinochet. No forgiving, no forgetting is often painted on walls or written on protest signs in Chile. This film screening includes three short documentaries that focus on the student movement, women's rights, and indigenous land reclamation. The filmmaker will be present to facilitate a conversation